previously.
He's done.
I'm not done, fucking prick. I don't understand. He's probably at home right now beating his fucking children, okay? Has nothing to do with a fucking game. Probably smacking his wife because she hard-boiled some eggs too hard and fucking focusing his interest on a fucking game and trying to get a judge and trying to get everybody to, like, fucking agree on this one. What the fuck is wrong? Why don't you get a fucking life? I mean, like, has he even played the fucking game? That's the fucking point. Has he even played it? No, he probably listened to conjecture. Oh, this game's gonna be violent. This game's gonna be fucking, oh, it's gonna whoop your children. Oh, why don't you talk to the mother whose kid is in the ground? Yeah, the kid is in the ground because he did something stupid, okay? Because the kid is fucking stupid! What the fuck does it have to do with the game? It has nothing to do with the game. These people, it's like, you come out of nowhere, you want to fucking make a name for yourself, this is not the way to do it, okay? I'm taking fun away from everybody else. It has nothing to do with life. God damn it, there are things in life that are fucking imperative, okay? I just say, listen, okay?
He keeps going, he sounds more and more like a woman.
That is selling crack, okay? Okay, this is not the game. This game is not selling crack. This game is not... It's not promoting. It's remotely near fucking deviant, okay? It's fantasy. It's a fucking fantasy thing. But it has nothing. Teachers, it has nothing to do with kids being in the ground. What the fuck?
Kids being in the ground.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the TryGames.net podcast. We are here. What's today's date? October 22nd, Sunday. The year is 2066666. It is 1 p.m. That's a lie. It's 1:30. I am Mr. Trupon, your host, as usual. I'm here with not three, but two, like testicles. Two friends here, because Ethan is unfortunately unavailable today.
Yeah.
When I say
Ethan, you say fag. Ethan, fag. Ethan, fag. When I say Ethan, you say fag. Ethan, fag. Ethan, fag.
That was Tony! Say hello to Tony!
Hello.
And under him, we have Alfredo.
I am not under nobody. You take that shit back.
That's what he said. Alright, so we are going to talk about the Sony stuff that finally came out. We got launch details past the price and date. We got some, you know, what's coming in the box, and, you know, the games that are coming out that day, the finalized launch list. But, as usual, first, what is new with you, Al?
Three games are new with me now.
Three? Holy shit, cock.
Yeah, I actually bought four games this week, but two of them were $10 and old, so they don't deserve to be talked about. I'll just name them.
Oh, well.
Mortal Kombat Deception, which I still don't know how to play.
Just like Alliance, which
I don't remember
is
how to
also
play
hard
Alliance.
To play.
I mean, all it is just knowing the characters and special moves. Like, I don't really know them anymore because it's been like 3 years since I played Daily Alliance.
They also changed up a lot of them. Like, Scorpion doesn't play the same. Like, he has slightly different combos. Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah, that's that. And I got Mr. Jill Spirits, which I really don't know the nuances of that either, but it's fun.
Is that the GBA or the DS one?
The DS one.
Okay. And oh, yeah, that's right. Drill Spirits.
Yeah.
Oh, DS.
But the big purchases of the week were Bully and God Hand.
Ooh.
God Hand, of course, kicks everybody's ass. And I'm in the middle of trying to kick that game's ass, but it's hard.
What's the name of that level, that special level again? That stage?
Oh, yeah. There's a level in stage two called Giant Enemy Crane. And all it is a big-ass crane in the middle of the floor that, like, there's enemies that you have to fight, but you have to destroy the crane in order to get to the next part.
Oh, okay.
And
take place in historic Japan.
Bully is kind of...
For instance, it's giant enemy crabs!
It's compared to God Hand, like, if God Hand never came out, I'd be talking about Bully like it was a cool game. But being that I have God Hand, all my attention is really, like, crazy hooked on that. Bully is just, like, dessert. And it's okay dessert. Like, it's something that you want to play to cool off after being a hothead from playing God Hand.
God Hand.
I love licking the cover to Bully.
What?
You love licking the cover to Bully?
Yeah, as dessert.
Why? Because it's
as
embossed.
Dessert.
Yeah, I took that too seriously. Anyway, the only thing I don't really like about Bully is that time goes by too fast, and you have to take classes to get better at certain things
And you don't like that part?
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I want to go and do a task so I can get further into the game. But then it's like, oh, shit, it's 9 o'clock. I got to go to class. So then I come out of class. It's 11:30. And I'm like, okay, I think I can do this task now. And before I know it, it's 1 o'clock. I got class again.
Oh.
So then 3:30, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this task now. But then people start trying to pick on me. And I start beating the shit out of them, and then the prefects who are like, the prefects are like the older people who like monitor the school, and they get you, they put you in the principal's office if you're in trouble, they throw you in class if you're playing hooky.
Right.
They see that, they see me beating the shit out of people, throwing weapons, shooting slingshots, and hitting them with bats, and they start chasing me, so I'm like, ah, help, help, and I run, like, I run away from them, and the next thing you know, it's 7 o'clock. So now it's getting late, and...
And he falls asleep at like 2, right?
Fall asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I thought it was 2. Okay.
Or 2 or 3, one or two. So usually by the time, like between 7 and 11, I'm usually either trying to do my task, which sometimes doesn't get done, and or like mess with people or do run errands, because like people ask you to run errands for them, like just on the spot, and you can do it or not. So then 11 o'clock comes, and guess what? You're violating curfew now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you can't really do your task because the prefects are all running around and they will disturb your task and then fuck that up. So like the last time I played, I snuck into the girls' dorm at like 11 o'clock at night. And it's funny because I was getting chased by the head lady in the dorm, and then I got away from her and went to the attic. I found some little collectible things, like you know how they have like the collectible things you find all over the place. Found that.
Panties and bras.
And it's actually like a card game, collectible card game card.
Okay.
So then I went into the window and I jumped and I was like, what? It's zoned. So I was outside of school sitting in the window and I'm like, I wonder if there's a ladder. I woke up the next morning right where I fell.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
So,
oh, man.
That was my last night in the game so far.
Oh, man.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Is this game going to be responsible for putting kids in the ground?
No, I think kids are going to be responsible for putting kids in the ground.
That's as good.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah, because I was wondering just because, like, I mean, like, okay, so I'm hearing it from you. So it seems like it kind of gets in the way of your, like, you like doing the tasks. You don't like getting interrupted.
Well,
there's a lot of,
I like doing the classes because the classes are little mini games. Like, English class is Word Racer.
Oh,
you
okay.
know, like from Yahoo.
Yeah.
Art class is Kix.
Oh, okay.
You know Kix?
Yes.
I don't.
Kix is the game where you have the big square and you have to draw boxes inside the square before the little enemies that float inside the box.
Armadon
or something like Armadon or some shit like that. Yeah.
Cock and balls.
Cock a boopy.
And chemistry class is like a rhythm game almost. Where the buttons pass through a box and you have to press.
Right, that's kind of like the Dead to Rights stripper mini game.
Yeah,
and
it's also kind of like
get
real class.
To the gym because I couldn't find out where gym class was, so I
don't
know where gym class is.
Oh, I gotcha.
They don't even like have dodgeball or anything in gym.
They do have dodgeball actually.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what gym class is.
That should I think that is. But have you aligned yourself to any of the cliques yet?
Well, right now, I'm kind of feeling like being a hero to the nerds and really being an enemy to the bullies and maybe hanging out with the jocks. The greasers fuck with me on the site, so I'm like, fuck them. I'm going to fuck them up. I was doing a task where I had to, like, run and find some, like, hobo behind the bus, and I went the wrong way. I went to greaser territory, and they all started fucking my people up, and I actually wound up failing the task because they knocked out the weaker kid in the group of three.
Oh, wow.
So then I got mad and I started beating the crap out of all of them. And the prefects came and I was like, oh shit! So I ran.
Are you gonna put him into the ground?
Yeah, I gotta put him in the ground, man.
God.
They mess with Lil Petey.
Honey, what are you playing?
I'm still trying to clear the second part of Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Like really,
the second
really
playthrough?
Hard. Yeah, well, first off, initially, I wrote this in my review that you never posted.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, you just reminded me, I need to
really?
Post it. Yeah.
Damn it. All right,
like,
so...
I've been posting all this random shit, and I totally forgot
no,
it's my
okay.
fault.
It's okay. I've been busy.
Everybody listening to the podcast, look forward to Tony's review of Ultimate Ghost. Okay,
yay!
Go.
So anyway, what you have to do is like find all these rings and shit. Initially, you got to find 22 rings in order to fight the last enemy. And once you pass him, he's like really, really fucking easy. Once you pass him, the game isn't over. Now you got to find 11 light rings, and I have no fucking idea where they are. They're like scattered through hell, and there's all these other items that I haven't found, and the game is just taking forever. And not only that, the difficulty level got compounded, so now it's just really, really off the hook crazy.
I gotcha.
You know, so I was playing SimCity 4. And that's pretty
which
much
used
it.
To belong to Ethan's desk.
Yeah. No, actually, I was kidding about that. I didn't sneak into his house and took it. Because I'm bothering him about that because he said I took it, and, you know, I denied it. You know, so I've actually found it in my house. I was like, oh, shit, he was right. So I had to bother him.
You do have his keys, right?
Of course, yeah, but I don't go in his house.
I just thought it was funny because of the fact that you do have his keys. It's like, you could have gone in there and taken them if you wanted to. In fact, you should right now. You should do that and write up an article about it. But actually, speaking of your review, sort of a semi-announcement to make. We are, in a sense, bringing scores back to the site. Not like scores.
Oh, scores, okay.
Not out of like 100 or like a 9.5, because that just gets stupid and ridiculous. We're just doing it out of like a 5-star system, sort of.
Yeah, cool.
But like, I mean, the last thing I want to do is turn it into a, you know, this got a 5 out of 5, this got a 4.5 out of 5, right, this got a 3 out of 5. You know, it's more just a visual scale of, like, how much you enjoyed it, and how much you think you would want someone, how much you think someone else would enjoy it. So, like, I mean, it's not, we're not, like, sitting there grading shit, you know, to the utmost detail. Like, I hate that, because it starts getting people into fanboy wars, or like, oh my god, this game got a 9.3, and that game got an 8.9, the 9.3 is so much better, and all that bullshit, it means nothing to me. Like, I really think that if you're going to be spending upwards of $30 on a piece of software, you need to read, and you need to find out about the game. You can't just look at a score and say, okay, I'm going to get that. So, you know,
and don't take just one reviewer's word for it.
Exactly, right.
Read
right.
many reviews. Right. And but I'll tell you this much, everybody on this site, our site, is going to have the best reviews, so you don't have to go any further.
There you go! So yeah,
shameless
I mean,
plug.
So I'm just having like a 5-star system just as a little visual indicator. 5 stars doesn't mean like perfection, but just like the most recommended, you know what I mean? Because no game is perfect. I don't care what anybody says, no game is perfect. So, you know, with that in mind, what would you give Ultimate PSP in Ghosts?
I would give that
in whole numbers.
I would give it a 4. Actually,
a 4
no,
out of 5?
Let me change that. I would give it a 3.
Okay, now that I know that, I can post your review.
I would give it a fair. You know, me personally, I like the series, but when it comes to people who are not familiar to the series, if this is their first game,
they should approach with caution.
Yeah, they're not going to like it. Unless they played the original Ghouls and Ghosts and Goblins, they would realize that this is like leaps and bounds better. It's an advancement in the series, not really an advancement in character design, but definitely an advancement in the series. Other than that, it's just it's got a lot of problems for a new player. So,
I gotcha. Okay. I suppose I'm next. What am I playing? I just picked up Condemned again because I've been picking that up and putting it down, picking up, putting it down. And I can never seem to play it for like more than an hour just because of the level design. It is so loopy. It's like, I think I've said this before, but it's like you're in, you know, well, the area I'm in right now is a train station. Okay. And the way that, you know, this is the same development team that did Fear, and they have the same problems. It's like this, and they also did No One Lives Forever. The development team is called Monolith. It's either Monolith or Monolith Soft. They're two monoliths. One did PS2 RPGs, and the other does PC games. And Condemned. So I can't remember which one is Monolith and which one's Monolith Soft. This one's the American Monolith.
Okay.
Just to put it into the ground. So, and a common problem that they have is they make great action. You know, they have great action and, like, you know, good design in terms of the gameplay, and graphics and aesthetics and all that shit. But when it comes down to level design, it's often very. It makes too much sense. If that makes any sense, like if you're going to be designing a game in an office building, You know, if you made a design that made sense for an office building and every floor looks the same, it's full of cubicles, right? So obviously, like, if you make something that realistic, it's going to be boring.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's, in a sense, that's kind of what they do. Everything kind of makes sense. Everything's realistic. Like, if you're in a, you're in an abandoned subway platform, you're going to have all these, like, hallways that kind of lead to the same place or lead to dead ends and stuff in a subway station, right? That's because that's the way a subway station is. But, like, it just becomes kind of annoying to play. Okay. You end up going into a corner that really doesn't have anything. It may, maybe it has another weapon that you could have picked up somewhere else, you know? So it's like, it kind of does, it makes sense, but it doesn't.
Right.
So that's kind of why I can't play it for more than an hour, but, like, just the combat, it's so fun. Like, you know, these guys are coming at you, and you really just swing this 2x4 in their face.
Right.
That's all you're doing. You're just swinging shit at them from a first-person view. And it's also scary as hell. Like, I think this is one of those candidates for, you know, game night where, you know, we huddle up on the couch and, like, shut off all the lights and just play it, you know.
No, the problem is that I have to... The game to play for that is Undying.
Oh, that too.
That's
that
scary too.
I need
game.
To I need to install that.
No, you don't.
But, like, yeah, I do.
No,
but,
don't scry.
Shut up. I'm installing it again. Okay. But, like, Condemned, the only problem is that I have it on my PC. Well, Ethan can handle it on his PC, and so can you.
Right.
Tony. So, yeah. I mean, if Game Night was huddling around a computer monitor, then it would work. Right. But it's freaking scary, and I recommend you try the demo. Like, find the demo on online. Okay. I'm sure they have a PC demo, and check it out. What else have I been playing? Not much. That's about it. You know, I haven't had really time to actually play anything. And I think we're all looking forward to the same things that we were looking forward to last week, so we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But then I guess let's get on to the Sony Gamers Day, where they finally came out with PS3 stuff.
Yay!
More than just the date and the price. I'm reading this bit from GamesAreFun.com, great site as always. And they have some of the launch details revealed here. Let's start off. Okay. The launch window games, which means not on launch day.
Uh-huh.
But launch window. And here's a big kicker, is that first-party titles in the U.S. will be
$59.99.
Right. Unlike the Xbox 360, where their first-party titles are supposed to be $49.99, with the exception of snafus like Gears of War, which is being published by Microsoft Games, but is still coming out for $60. I don't know what happened there.
It's called a paradigm change.
Boom. No, it's... Bam! But yeah, the the first party titles, which will be $60. We've got Giant Enemy Crabs game, also known as Genji. We've got NBA 07, which I saw at Digital Life, and it looked like complete crap. And when I say looked, I mean from a gameplay standpoint.
Right.
Not from a graphical standpoint. Graphically, it actually looks really nice.
Be brutally honest. Go ahead.
No. It really graphically looks excellent. Uh-huh. Gameplay-wise, it looks like...
choppy?
Like, I sat on the toilet, and I got up, and I looked, and that's what I saw. Gameplay-wise.
I don't even know what kind of analogy that is. But
I've never had faith in 989 or Sony Sports. I just haven't. And NBA, all the NBA games from Sony's first party have been complete shit.
989 Studios.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd be much better served with the third-party offering. And I'll get to that in a second, actually. But the last first-party title that'll be out at launch is the big kicker that everyone's looking forward to, Resistance Fall of Man, a.k.a. Call of Halo Duty. Because that's what it basically is.
Duty.
Like... They took like the time setting of Call of Duty,
right?
A little bit after, I think it's after World War II, like slight just after the war ends,
right.
And then they mix it up with the whole alien storyline of Halo.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, from like a console first person shooter perspective, it looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like any other shooter. It looks like any other visceral shooter that'll be a lot of fun to play multiplayer and stuff. But I just, you know, I'm the wrong person to talk to when it comes to this, because I just refuse to play any console first-person shooter, like willingly.
Right.
Because I need a mouse and keyboard. So I'll just say, if you like console first-person shooters, you will probably like Resistance. Third-party titles. Blazing Angel, Squadrons of World War II. Bleh. Call of Duty 3. Fight Night Round 3. And here's a big one: The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Wow.
Even though it's on the like so far, Blazing Angels is on 360.
Right.
Call of Duty 3 is coming out on 360 as well. So, and Fight Night Round 3 has been on 360 for a long, long time.
Right.
And the Oblivion also falls into that, you know, category. But Oblivion, in my opinion, it just goes above and beyond those other games. You know, it's just you know, it's Grand Theft role-playing, basically. It's just wide open, so, I mean, for anybody to have that on their system, regardless of if it appeared somewhere else, I mean, again, like I said last week, it's a real big win for Sony. What else? They've got Fear, they've got Full Auto 2, they've got Madden, NFL 07, they've got Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Mobile Suit Gundam, Crossfire, and a Gundam game. You always got to have one of those, apparently. NBA 2K7, which beats the pants off of NBA 07 any day of the week, including three Sundays. Need for Speed Carbon, NHL 2K7, Ridge Racer 7, which will be the first game that I get when I do get a PS3 in 2010 when it's like $300. But I will have my Ridge Racer. I will have it.
Right.
Like, I don't care how bad or good or same it is.
Yeah,
I have
just buy the game on launch, not the system. Hold on to
Maybe.
The game until you buy the system.
Yeah, but I just have this crazy, like, guilty pleasure. Like, even though Ridge Racer is, like, the same thing over and over again, I have to have it. Sonic the Hedgehog, Tiger Woods, Rainbow Six Vegas, Tony Hawk's Project 8, and Untold Legends, Dark Kingdom.
God.
And I have something to say about Tony Hawk's Project 8. Let me read... Let me go on a tangent and start my blast right here. Next-gen.biz, better known as next-gen.biz, interviewed Kaz Hirai, Mr. Ridge Racer. and here's what he said. This is pretty funny here. The question is, information about PS3's online plans has been really tight. Can you share some thoughts about it? Here's what he said. Before I get into the details, I think it's important, really, to first describe what our philosophy is with regards to the network platform for the console. Okay? PlayStation 3 is obviously designed to go online on day one out of the box. It's designed from the ground up to be a network console. What we don't do, however, is have a brand name for the network service, you know, like PlayStation Online or PlayStation Live. And this is because we don't see and in quotes, PlayStation Offline. Another thing is he says, because we don't see a PlayStation Offline, that's nice marketing spin and everything. But going back to our launch day games, Tony Hawk's Project 8 is not online, okay? And the reason why that's like kind of a big deal is because when Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 came out on the PlayStation 3 was the fact that, oh my god, it went online. It's Tony Hawk and it's on the PlayStation 2, but it went online. And then now it's not online. So, if you're looking for a PlayStation Offline, I got it for you right here. That game is it. And that's fucking retarded. And while I'm at it, while I'm still on the fucking blast, why can I only buy GameCube component cables only online at launch? Didn't Nintendo learn from, like, last generation when nobody bought their component cables, and then they said, well, the demand isn't really high, we don't see much of a movement for component cables, so therefore people don't want to see things in, you know, in 480p, you know, in progressive scan. They don't want to see pretty stuff. Yeah, that's because you didn't put the fucking cable in the store so people couldn't buy it. So now it's coming out at launch, but it's going to be online, okay? How many people, like, how many Joe Schmoes who don't really follow this that closely are going to walk, but like pretty graphics, are going to walk into the store and say, let me buy this Nintendo system, and let me buy this game, and I'll go home. And then they have no idea that the component cable exists.
Right.
They have no idea that they can see it in 480p or in widescreen. They have no clue. Right? So then Nintendo's going to go, see, we told you HD doesn't matter, like 5 years down the line when online sales of component cables are like 2% every year. Sure, of course. Of course people don't want HD because they don't know they can get it. And the last one is really not important. It's just, I think the Dead or Alive Extreme 2 is the most retarded game idea in existence. It's just Dead or Alive girls with their titties hanging out and bouncing. And yeah.
Marketing!
If you look online for videos of DOA X2, which is short for Dead or Alive Extreme 2, I can't remember if the extreme is spelled with the E or not, but you'll find, like, there's a minigame. It's basically a bunch of minigames with all those Dead or Alive girls, like, around in bikinis, like, just doing these stupid minigames. And one of them is, there are two of them standing ass to ass on this really small floating thing in a pool, and the objective is to ass butt.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They bump each other's asses.
That's so bad.
Until one of them falls off. So they're just trying to knock each other off of the floating thing with their ass.
Oh, Christ.
That's it! You're going to pay $50 for that, or even $60, you know, be my guest, but I mean...
Well, listen, I'm not for censoring anything. you know, if you want to go and play a game like that, just
I agree.
Jerk off to later. I mean, maybe people out there don't have that much of imagination anymore. Everything's like a dumb day. Yeah, so maybe they need some graphical stimulation so that they could get their jerk on.
Whackety whack.
So go for it, people. Go out there. $60.
You got to work
better
it.
Than a stripper.
You want to jerk it? You got to work. But seriously, I mean, like, yeah, I'm not all for censorship. You know, that's fine. They want to put that out, that's fine. I just think it's a retarded game idea. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, there's going to be plenty of retarded game ideas.
Retarded.
This is just one in a long list of them. But, hey, if that's their pleasure, go for
it. Rich Bikini. Okay, so that's it for the blast, and let's get back to the actual news topic. Here are the accessories. The wireless controller, which is now called the 6-axis, which is false because it does not operate on 6 axes, but on 3. Like, that matters. I'm just saying, you know. Will cost $50. It has a 20-meter range. This is America. Why do we still talk in meters? And it has 30 hours of battery life, which can be recharged, I think, when you plug the USB cable into the PS3. So it's not exchangeable batteries like the 360 controller and the Revolution remote.
Is it a lithium ion?
I believe so. And I mean, that's both good and bad. Like, it's good because, like, you don't have to sit there and spend money on the batteries. But, of course, it's bad because if you just want to swap it out real quick, you know, you can't.
You'd have to
play it wired. But that's never been a big deal to me. I prefer rechargeable batteries. So, the big concern is if it's not it's not user changeable. So what happens when your lithium ion battery finally dies?
Marketing!
But the thing is, Sony did say that they would replace the batteries for you free of charge.
Really?
So that's good on their part. You know, I'm glad that they're doing that.
But you have to go online to do it.
a memory card adapter, which will be $15, which lets you transfer game saves. Oh, this is neat. It'll let you transfer games from your game saves from PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 memory cards to the hard drive. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing backwards compatible PlayStation 1 games, you can just put your save on the hard. Now, that is cool. I like that.
That's a problem, though, because if you remember the first PlayStation, I mean, the PlayStation 2, when it came out, you could also put the PlayStation 1 games on that memory card. However, the memory card doesn't read from that memory card, so you have to back it up on a regular memory card anyway.
Right, but the whole...
PS1 memory card.
Right, but the whole...
Which is retarded.
No, but the whole point here is that you're not going to have to do that anymore.
Okay.
You're taking the save from the PS1 memory card and putting it on the hard drive. And what I'm thinking is that they'll make it such that, you know, when you stick a PlayStation 1 disc in there, it's going to ask you, you know, in the configuration, like, is your PS1 save on the hard drive or a memory card? And if you say on the hard drive, the game is going to treat the hard drive like a memory card slot, and it's just going to look up the save. Right. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, I'm pretty sure they're not that stupid. So, and the Blu-ray disc remote control for $25. Coming soon. The PS3 system will come bundled with 1 6-axis wireless controller, an AC adapter, a USB mini cable, definitely important, an Ethernet cable, that's good, and composite cables, no component. And I think I mentioned that last week, but before you get all up in arms, you can use your PS2 component cable, so it's not a big deal.
I'm actually still trying to find online.
Say again?
I'm
not sure why the Best Buy's near you don't have it. Like, I mean, they have it, like, by me.
Well, I just looked on BestBuy.com. They don't even really have
it. That's weird. It should.
And I'm at PlayStation.com, and the stores that they advertise to have it are KB, GameStop, EB, Sony Style, Toys R Us, and Walmart.
That's really weird. It should have it everywhere. Anyway.
And GameStop.com doesn't have it on the website.
It really should. I don't know why it doesn't. But anyway, more details. The first 500,000 PS3 systems sold in the United States will include a Blu-ray version of the movie Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, almost 1 month before its release date.
I think they're trying to tell America something.
I mean, out of all the movies that they could... It's great. No, I actually think it's great that they're bundling in a movie. It's great. You know, I mean, they did it...
Not Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. What about something like that?
Really quality
something
movie.
That you'd want to see at high resolution. Not, yeah. I mean, like...
A NASCAR spoof, because people out here like NASCAR.
I mean, some people like Will Ferrell, and he's funny sometimes. And, you know, I wouldn't mind having this movie for free, but, like, I would rather have a better movie on Blu-ray and have this as a DVD or a UMD or something. If this were bundled in a PSP as a UMD, I'd take it. But, like, they gotta find something else, something better than...
Well, be thankful they didn't bundle Bewitched with it.
Oh, God!
Yeah, we're gonna get Will Ferrell in there. All right, get Bewitched.
More details. The basic online service is free from day one. And that's basically, well, let's move on, and I'll come back to this. The cross media bar, which is the PS3's navigation system, is the same one that's used on PSPs. So when you boot up a PSP without a game in it, that little interface that comes up is the same one that's gonna come up for the PS3. Okay. Now, depending on who you are, like, some of you may like it, some of you may not. Like, I personally don't have a problem with it. Game demos, movies, and casual games can be purchased and downloaded from the online PlayStation 3 store, much like the Xbox Live Marketplace. Blast Factor, which I like to call Geometry Wars Factor, because it's the same fucking game, almost, is an exclusive title that is being developed by Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios after having sent a spy to Bizarre Creations, who made Geometry Wars for the Xbox 360. Downloadable first-party games will cost less than $15 at launch. Now, another piece of news is that, you know, the whole thing about downloading PlayStation 1 games, like, you're supposed to be able to download PlayStation 1 games to emulate on the PSP. The way it's working now is that you download it to your PS3 and you transfer it over to the PSP. Which is a exactly. It's like, wouldn't you rather have it just go straight to your PSP? But I guess they haven't finalized that yet. I don't doubt that they'll get it to work sometime soon. But a lot of people are kind of up in arms, like, why can't I just do it directly to my PSP? You know. And furthermore, the downloadable PS1 games I don't think will be playable on PlayStation 3s yet. That's another thing that is to come. It will happen, but for now it's not. But it's kind of funny. It's like, you download it to the PS3 to move it to your PSP, but you can't play it until you move it to your PSP because it's not going to play on your PS3. So, I mean, those are the bulk of the launch.
PS3 could do a lot of things. It's got Blu-ray. It's got that. We can't play PSP games.
PS1 games.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's the news. Any thoughts so far regarding, like, this launch news?
I think it's fucking stupid.
Just off the bat.
No, I'm just... Actually, one of the games that I saw on the third-party release title is Untold Legends. Now, if anybody played this Untold legendary piece of shit on the PSP, they would realize that this is a game you should avoid.
Oh, man.
PS3. And, you know, just be wary, because if it's anything like the bastardized Diablo version it was on PSP, then you will have buyer's remorse even before you leave the
store. Untold legendary piece of shit.
Yeah, so do not do that. I'm looking forward to the Sonic games. They look very, very nice. Saw it on a video where they previewed a whole bunch of games in high definition, which look very, very pretty. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing spectacular. I mean, as far as graphics go, yeah, it could be done on a lower system, but not with HD.
Okay.
You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, nothing really graphically has changed, except the enhancement in visuals and maybe the faster, you know, I guess, movement of the
frame rate,
animations
frame rate,
and
right.
stuff like that. Yeah, the frame rate. There you go. Other than that, not much of an advancement. I'm still going to avoid the launch of the PS3. I'm sure a lot of people will do it for monetary reasons. I'm just doing it because it doesn't impress me.
Al, what about you? I mean, like, in terms of, like, the first-party titles or the third-party titles that are coming out, like, the pricing or, you know, the controller and everything, any thoughts?
Game's too expensive. Controller's too expensive. The console's too expensive.
I will say the controller is still cheaper than the Wiimote and Nunchuck combo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the controller's too expensive.
Still, yeah, it is. Every controller out there is too expensive, and Nintendo is the guiltiest party out there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It's so ludicrous.
Launch lineup is not appealing to me.
Nope. Not Mobile Suit Gundam?
Not Kenji? Days of the Blade? It takes place in feudal Japan.
Sorry,
for instance, here's the giant crabs.
I'm into giant enemy cranes.
God hand.
And I don't know. There was something I wanted to say. I can't even think about it because I'm just like $59.99, $49.99, $599.99. Yeah. And, Ridge Racer 7.
That's it? You actually like that? I thought you didn't like that.
Oh no! Did I say that I liked $59.99 and $49.99 and $599.99?
I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, I know you're traveling.
Oh, no! In terms of bringing up the Ridge Racer 7, I wasn't sure what you were saying there.
Oh, I don't know. I just looked at it.
Oh, you just looked at it, and you decided to read it out. Oh, that was Ridge Racer.
Here's your phonetic lesson for today. Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer.
Ridge. Remember that one? I mean, honestly, the funny thing is, the more and more I look at this launch lineup, and then I think about, Nintendo's launch lineup, I think I said this 2 weeks ago or so, but Nintendo's launch lineup, every week that I look at it, I'm starting to become less and less excited about it.
Right.
The only thing that I really, really am looking forward to in Nintendo's launch lineup is probably Rayman. Maybe Red Steel, but it still looks janky. Mm-hmm. The control still looks half and half. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm playing Twilight Princess on my GameCube first. Yes. I'm not buying it at launch. I'm not buying it for the Revolution at launch. I'm buying it for my GameCube in December, where it should be, and I'm playing it on there.
Okay.
And everything else, I mean, it's got the same thing. The Nintendo.
Yeah, no, it's almost pretty much the same launch as far as.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's also got the Blazing Angels. It's also got the Call of Duty 3. It's also got Madden. Mm-hmm. And I don't. Mm-hmm. I know how inventive it's going to be, but I just don't care about football. I mean, mm-hmm. Excite Truck. I'm not really excited about that. Honestly, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's racing games. It's shooters. It's third party ports that are everywhere. You know, that's why I'm excited for Rayman. As much as I railed on it before about being a mini game only game, at least it's becoming a more original effort. And I really respect Michel Ancel, who's the lead designer for all the Rayman games. So I am looking forward to that. And it will make great inventive use of the controller. But as for everything else, I'll buy stuff.
Right.
Because I like shooters. I'm not saying that I don't like Call of Duty and stuff like that, but it's just it's not exciting to me. It's not exciting for.
Right, but there's an added thing there. It's going to come packaged with Night at the Roxbury. Will Ferrell.
Oh God! Shut up! Shut up!
It's Will Ferrell Day, giveaway day.
Oh my God! Basically, what I'm saying it's not what I envision buying a new quote unquote new generation system for. Not for Call of Duty 3. Again, I will play them and I will probably like them because I like those types of games, but I'm buying it for something as inventive as Rayman. That's what I'm saying. And the rest of the lineup is just, it's launch time. This is when people are supposed to be coming out with innovative stuff. Launch time is when Halo came out and took everyone by storm. The same thing's supposed to be happening here. And to tell you the truth, in the fall, although I'm going to get my Revolution and be happy with it, I'm looking forward more to a little game called Gears of War. Which looks just as good as any of the PS3 titles that I saw demoed. Granted, it's a second-generation title on the Xbox 360. They've had more time to work on it. So it's not just because, PS3 isn't that powerful. Because I do see some stuff that, at some point, the 360 is going to have a little trouble keeping up with. But it's not anything that I'd be like, well, I need to pay $200 more just to have a little prettier graphics. That's not me. That's not what I care about. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure other people out there will and have fun losing $200 because not me. But as far as, Tony, as far as what you saw in the videos, what looked appealing to you? What did you see?
Well, of course, the Sonic.
Okay.
They were showing examples of using their handle to control some of the movements. For instance, in their driving games.
Okay.
Or in their I forgot what the dragon game
Lair.
Was. It looked really, really fucking
Lair.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The control with the handle, you actually move the handle veer to the left or right and stuff, and that actually controls not unlike the Wii's handle,
right.
But very much not like it at all. Okay. It seems kind of gimmicky because I don't think that's something that really needed to it was necessary to enhance the gameplay, so to speak. It just looks maybe that'd be good for driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I was playing Gran Turismo 4, maybe moving the handle like that would be an extra added thing, especially if it's precise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that way you wouldn't have to buy an analog steering wheel.
I have a question.
You could just use the handle.
I have a question from the videos that you saw. I know that for Nintendo, they always have a small little box in the corner that shows the person using the control to show how responsive it is.
No,
they didn't have anything similar.
what they did was they actually had, like, a huge screen, and, you know, the person would be putting their eyes in peril, standing right next to the screen, right in front.
So it was video of, like, in the event, so people were using the controller.
Right,
it wasn't,
exactly.
like, directly from the screen capture. Okay.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
But you still got to see the responsiveness.
Yeah. It was responsive, but, again, I have to say it's gimmicky. You know, it's something that really doesn't, it's not necessary to enhance the game, because everything you could do by moving the handle this way or that way, you could do on a D-pad or an analog
you
pad.
Could.
So they're not really, it's not.
Well,
really
you could, but, I mean, the whole purpose behind it, but this is my take on it, and this is why I'm supporting motion sensing on this end for Nintendo side, is that anything that makes a game more intuitive and more natural to play, you know, I'm all for it, gimmicky or not. If it makes it more natural to play, it is better. That's my take on it. That's why, like, when everyone was like, oh, the touchscreen on DS is stupid, I'm like, I don't care, you know, because it makes things much quicker. If I'm playing a game that's based on a lot of menus, no, it's not making innovative use, but it's so convenient to just tap. And it's so convenient to type in like PictoChat instead of sitting there and using the cursor to select your letter. And if I were to type out Tony Pagan, I'd have to use a D-pad and go T, O, you know, and just using so things like that to just make things more intuitive. You know, that's I'm all in support of that. Now to have it in there just for the sake of having it in there is stupid.
Exactly, that's my point. Yeah. That's my point. It's just for the sake.
But,
like, none of these games.
But was it really like that?
Really
I mean, think about a driving game though. Is it in there just to have it? Like, don't you think that it might? I mean, I'm not. Don't you think? I'm asking.
No, that's what. That was my original.
Oh, okay, idea. Okay.
If it was like a driving game,
I'm sorry,
I
missed
understand,
that. Yeah.
You know, because then that replaces the need. For
Right. I missed that. You're
especially
right. You said that.
Especially if it's precise. I mean, if it's precise, if you use a handle like a wheel and stuff, and it's just awesomely precise, then, you know, you just saved yourself from buying a peripheral if you wanted the extra added, you know, realism of buying a stereo.
And I guess that's the question that led me to ask you about the videos and, like, what you saw. So getting back to that, what did it look like?
Videos,
did it look responsive to you, like, when they were using it?
Yes,
or it did?
Yes, it
okay,
did.
That's good to know.
It did look responsive.
That's good to know.
There wasn't, like, a delay in the movements on the hand to the video and stuff. It was very responsive as far as the movement, the wireless and shit like that. The games themselves, they are really pretty, as I stated before. Really pretty, but nothing, you know, that's like wow.
Right, that you would want to go out and
pay
$600.
Yeah, it's just high def, so you'll actually see bricks, you know, from great distances away.
Right, it's
you know,
much more detailed
designs and stuff. You know, so that's what you're. Is that what you're paying $600 for? No, but you're also getting Blu-ray, and I really don't care. I really don't care about the Blu-ray. Especially now that it's coming with Talladega Nights, that's an insult. You know? Fucking insult. I mean, well, you want to package something, why don't you package, like, there's any number of movies that anybody could see that would be better than Talladega Nights.
I mean, like Hitch.
You know, even though, thank God they didn't package the Hitch. Thank God they didn't package Days of Thunder, you know? Americans love NASCAR. We got to package a NASCAR game for the American throw. Yeah. So what the fuck? I mean, like, can't you package something like... Why couldn't they package, like, Kill Bill 1 and 2?
Yeah.
That would have been something, you know? That would have been something at least you would have been able to watch more than once, you know? If I see Talladega Nights once, I guarantee you any amount of money, I'm going to be like, wow, that was mildly funny, and then move on, you know? And sell this to somebody, you know? But that's pretty much it. I also think that they're taking a gamble with the Blu-ray.
Dying.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
you gotta also remember that movie was, like, number one. Most recently, for
in a weekend
of
slow movies, sure, yes.
And you never know; you might be able to plug your controller in and control the
right, right. You know what I would have liked to see? I don't care how old it is. Like, I mean, I know it's just repackaging it again and again, but I would have liked to see Spider-Man on Blu-ray. That is something that I would have liked to see on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
you know. But I guess they beat that into the ground by releasing it on PSP. But you know. But they have the fucking Spider-Man logo as their font for PlayStation 3. If you look at the PlayStation 3 font, it matches Spider-Man's font. Why can't they just, you know, back that in? I don't know. Anyways.
Because Talladega Nights.
Spider-Man
2. Yeah, that's what I meant. Spider-Man 2.
American spirit.
Or they could have put Spider-Man 3.
Ooh.
Well, maybe the preview.
Yeah. But,
Shoot. They just put all the Spider-Man trailers and anything else that's, like, Sony-related, just all Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think I remarked before about the Sony's six-axis and their whole, like, motion sensing without the rumble. And I brought that up, and you said you had something to say about that. What about rumble in general were you going to talk about? Because I did write an article, actually, on the site, I think it was last week or this week, about, like, the importance of rumble. And I'm interested to hear what your thoughts on that Sony took out the rumble and put in the motion sensing. And to preface that, yes, English is my only language, and it's sad. It's the speculation of to why they don't have rumble is not because they can't do it, but because they're still trying to settle that lawsuit with immersion. They're not even trying to settle; they're still fighting it. So that's probably why they didn't put the rumble in there. But that notwithstanding, what are your thoughts on this controller not having rumble but having motion sensing? Both of you, either of you.
Oh, I was about to say me first.
A comes before T. Ass comes before tits.
But everybody loves TNA.
The controller is much, 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 much lighter. Mm. And it reminds me of the PlayStation, the original PlayStation mm-hmm. controller before DualShock. Mm-hmm. Except, you know, with the dual analog mm-hmm. sticks. I think that people who are used to the DualShock and how heavy it is, they're going to have a slight learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, probably like throwing the controller around because they're so used to it being heavy, and it's going to be less resistant to their movements.
Mm-hmm.
Motion sensing without rumble, I don't know. It's probably a good thing because it would probably, I'm just kind of guessing here that it may affect the motion sensing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, we do have games that have motion sensing and rumble, sort of. Like WarioWare Twisted. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It has a slight kind of bump whenever you turn it.
Right, right.
And it doesn't affect the game itself, but then if you had the damn thing shaking and, you know, how I used to make jokes about the rumble pack mm-hmm. and just throw it out the window because it shakes so much. Well, it would fly out of your hands and out of the window because it shakes so right. much. If it was doing that like it does, like, what game was it? I think it was, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, no.
Deception. I put the vibration on that. Now, as soon as it went on, I went into the menu and turned it right off. Because it just goes, every time you get hit, what kind of crap is that?
Wait, did you get the Cube or the PS2 version?
PS2, right.
And so the DualShock goes all over the place when you play Deception?
Yeah, no, it's just this one, it's not even modular vibration where if you get hit by a light move, it goes brrrr.
Everything goes brrrr!
Yeah. And it happens, like, after you get hit by a combo, it just puts you into shame by shaking your controller vehemently.
Bohemianly.
Bohemianly. It's vehement, bitch!
Vehement. It's vehement! No. It's Ryu, not Ryu, bitch! No.
It's Bohemian.
Also, another... I'm sorry, before you go on, just so people don't forget that the Nintendo Remote Control has vibration in it, although the Nunchuck does not.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, I'm sorry. Continue!
Oh. Yeah, I was gonna say that if they put vibration in the controller, it would have to be subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be cool if they put subtle vibration in it, but they didn't. It would probably make the controller $65.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, immersion came at shot fired back when they were like, "We're trying to do a cost cutting thing for the consumer by not having rumble in there," which is bullshit because they're charging you $600 anyway, right? But then immersion's like, "Yeah, we found a way to do it without adding costs, so they don't know what they're talking about. We'll be glad to work with them, but they just don't want to work with us." So. It's just interesting there, you know. But mm-hmm. What about you, Tony? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know me. I'm gonna be crass and
crass away, crass hole.
Yeah. The only people that are really gonna miss this feature is everybody's girlfriend.
What?
The vibration, yeah, the rumble.
Yeah. The Oh my god. No, I don't need it. I don't need it. Don't care. Don't care. Don't need it. Don't want it.
Aren't you going to miss sticking the second player controller in your lap?
Very good.
Your lap.
No, we didn't see it.
Just like sit it there and, you know.
No.
And beat the crap out of the other player in Mortal Kombat Deception.
Well, you're not an altruist then. I'm ashamed of you.
Well, let's just, no, there's, because, what it comes down to is that I think it was the most, how do you say, not appropriately used peripheral on a hand.
Okay.
For instance, every single game that I've played that had Rumble technology, I would say 90% of them have one distinct rumble.
It rumbles. That's what Al was saying too about like him getting hit lightly and getting hit heavily. Right, it was just both times.
Yeah, just the one responsive rumble. So does that add to the enhancement of the game?
No, it doesn't.
You don't even pay attention.
Agreed.
To it
I agree
while,
with that. Definitely.
You know? So that's one. Number two, there's only some games out of the 90%, the 10% that did utilize the rumble perfectly was driving games.
Mm-hmm,
for instance,
mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo 3. The rumble was subtle over paved roads, okay? You go over cobblestones
or
into dirt, and the rumble got more responsive. Actually gave you the feeling that you're veering towards something that is bad.
Right.
And especially
exactly.
If you hit into a wall or another car, the rumble got more more violent.
Right.
Okay, so is it really a utilized feature? No, didn't care for it. Truth be known, they had two rumble sides on the DualForce, and very hardly any games use the stereo rumble. Okay, if you get hit on your left side, you know only the left rumble response instead of the right and stuff, or maybe just slightly the right, but more on the left. You know, very few games really initialized this feature, so. Who cares?
Right.
Good riddance. I don't care. The handle's $50. You're paying for the battery. Okay? That's it. You're paying for the lithium-ion battery.
And the accelerometers that let the motion sensing happen.
Ooh!
Ooh!
I put it in the velociraptor.
I put it in the velociraptor! What happened to the cable?
It is a Stargate! No, Fargate!
It's a Fargate, goddammit! It is a Fargate!
You can poke him with a pillow and kill him.
God. Well, I guess here's my take on the whole thing, and I might be missing some things because when I wrote the article, it was pretty long. But again, like I totally agree that right now, with both Rumble and motion sensing and like touchscreen and whatever innovation that's coming out, there are a lot of things that are so trivial that don't really matter. You know, that's just like, you know, what the fuck? I can do this with a D-pad or I can see it on the screen. But I don't think that means that it should be taken away. I don't think it means that we should be limited without them just because most people aren't using it in the right way. Because the people that use it in the right way simply make better games. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, I'm not willing to back down from that statement. They just do. Like,
well, so you would sorely miss this, then.
I would miss it from the developers that I know would use it well. For example, let me use an example here. And like you said, with driving games, with Project Gotham 3 on the Xbox 360, when my drift is going sour, like if I'm turning too far into one direction or whatever, like my whole article is based around feedback and input, okay? The feedback from the game is the sound when your gears, when your tire starts screeching and your engine starts chugging, you're like, you know? And it's also like the rumble in your controller goes from like a normal kind of steady rumble into this kind of jerky, herky jerky, like you feel that something is wrong. So immediately you're thinking, okay, I have to adjust my turn somehow so that I don't go veering into the wall. Now, that's all based on the feedback that you're getting from the game. In previous games, yes, you get it from the sound, all right? Sound was a good thing, but Rumble takes it even a further step and makes it more intuitive. Your hands are now feeling what you would expect to feel if you were driving a car.
That's right, and also deaf people could appreciate it.
Oh, God.
That sucks. I'm going to hell.
You're going to hell. But yeah, you see what I mean? It's all about the fact that it does provide important feedback. And like it's a fact. That stuff is important, you know, if you want a more intuitive experience. Now, people say I like Rumble for the immersion. You know, that's the same thing as saying I like pretty graphics and pretty sound for the immersion, and that's fine. You know, that's their preference. Right. I don't give a shit about the immersion. I don't give a shit about the aesthetics. I give a shit about the gameplay. And Rumble does have gameplay implications, like I just said right there. Or Shadow of the Colossus is actually another good example, and it's one that I used in my article. When you're hanging on, like in Street Fighter, okay, in Street Fighter 2, when you get hit, you feel the rumble, right? Now, when you get hit, you see your character reel back. You see a big-ass hit spark. You hear this big sound that goes, psh, okay? And then you get the rumble. But it's like, you have so much feedback from visually and from the audio there that the rumble just becomes peripheral and it doesn't really add to anything. You know you're hit. You already know you're hit. You know, and it doesn't really add to any part of the gameplay.
Okay.
Now, in Shadow of the Colossus, it kind of acts as a nerve-wracking item. When you're hanging off of this big-ass beast's fur, and he's swinging you from side to side, and your focus is on hanging on, like pressing down on an X button to hang on and not let go. And all at the same time, you're watching that little circle in the corner that shrinks, and when it shrinks, that means that you lose all your grip and you fall off, right? So you're focusing on all this stuff, right? And you're hanging on for dear life. And to kind of throw an obstacle in your way, it starts rumbling a lot when you're swinging from side to side to side to side.
Right.
So, yeah, it's an immersion thing, but it's also, like, kind of adding a little challenge to your focus. You're, like, you're concentrating on holding onto this ding and looking at the little meter in the corner, and all of a sudden your hands have to contend with this controller that's fucking vibrating really violently, and you can't hold it still. And then...
It's gonna fly out the window.
And then, like, when you finally get to the top of the beast and you're trying to stab your sword into the weak point of every beast that you come across, like, basically how it happens is you hold down, I think it's the square button, you hold down the square button, and your character pulls his sword back, you know, until he can't pull it back anymore, right? And then when you let go, he stabs it forward and thrusts it into the weak point. Now, that point where you can't pull your arm back anymore, the controller rumbles. Now, that sounds like a stupid thing, right? Oh, it's just rumbling. But, I mean, think about being on, like, a big, hairy, gigantic beast and trying to stab him in the head, right? Yeah. Think about hanging...
It's actually trying to give you the feeling.
But not only the feeling, but think about, like, when you pull your arm back, like, you can feel in the tendon in your arm. Like, that's the way your body works when you can't pull your arm back anymore before you start going to the hospital, right? You know where your maximum point of pulling your arm back is. That's when your arm gets tense, and that's when you know, okay, I've got enough momentum to stab the thing for massive damage. You know, you have the idea that, okay, my arm is, like, as far back as it can be. Now I got to stab. So I tried turning off the rumble when playing it, and I tried pulling back the sword, and I would either stab too early, or I would be holding my arm for too long, right? Because after you stab the beast a couple of times, they're going to shake you off and you have to climb it again. So you want to get as many hits in there as possible while dealing as much damage as possible. So that when that rumble goes off, my hands instantly detect maximum point. That's the tension in my arm. Let go of the button and you go.
Right.
Now you can see it visually. But the time it takes from something that you see to go to your hands and let go of that button is much longer. Not much, I shouldn't say. That's exaggerating. But it's a bit longer than if you just felt something in your hand and you let go. It's similar to in the Mario Party games. There's this one fishing game where you have the fishing pole in the you have your bait in the water. You have your lure in the water. All right. And as soon as the controller vibrates, you're supposed to pull the fish up, and that's how you win the minigame.
Right.
If you have a wave bird, you can't just wait for the rumble. You have to look on screen for, like, a little bubble to pop above your character's head. Again, like, and maybe this is different for different people, but for me, like, feeling it will lend to a much quicker reaction than seeing it. So, in that sense, it's not a feedback mechanism. It's an actual, like, gameplay indicator, you know, and that to me, improves the intuitive nature of playing any game. And for me, if I'm going to play a game, I want it to be intuitive. So
same thing as Ocarina of Time. The same thing with the fishing there.
Oh, they had that too in that? I haven't gotten to the fishing yet. But yeah, so it's little things like that that make Rumble important to me. Not the shit where it's like, okay, I'm playing Final Fantasy, and I'm going to summon Knights of the Round, and all these things are going to come and stab my guy, and every time it stabs the enemy, it rumbles. Ooh, you know, not that. That's not what I care about. What I care about is the actual applications and gameplay. And to go with the motion sensing, when Al was talking about WarioWare Twisted, that's a great example of why, now that we have this great revolutionary thing in motion sensing, why Rumble is more important than ever. Okay? Because, take for example the WarioWare when he's like, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever played WarioWare Twisted on the Game Boy Advance?
No.
Basically, no. Have you played any WarioWare games?
No.
Okay, it's basically a collection.
Actually, no, I played the virtual reality one on the Nintendo VR system.
Eh?
Yeah.
One such game existed?
Yeah, long, long time ago. 1997, I believe.
WarioWare? Anyway, well...
No, well, not WarioWare. WarioWare.
Well, that's what I'm saying. WarioWare is a collection of mini-games that are like Twitch mini-games that literally involve just pressing the A button or like scribbling on the screen or something.
Oh, okay.
Like really quickly. Okay. And you have to like get this stuff done. Like each mini-game is like 5 seconds long. Mm-hmm. And you wait for like one of them is picking a nose. So you gotta wait for the finger to line up with the nostril and then you press A. And it takes like 5 seconds. You gotta get it out like really quick. WarioWare Touched for the DS changed it from pressing A to scribbling on the screen. And WarioWare Twisted changed that from scribbling or touching A to actually twirling the Game Boy Advance to make things, you know, to make something happen. So, Al, what was an example of one of the minigames that was there?
Let's see. One of the minigames, a really simple one, is, like, some kid who has, like, a card in his hand. It's like a loves me not kind of thing. And you're going to spin it around so that all of the hearts go away or come up on the screen.
Okay.
And the harder it gets, the more you have to spin the controller around.
Right.
Well, the Game Boy around.
Now, without Rumble, the only thing you'd be able to rely on is looking at the screen and seeing how if you were spinning it fast enough or too slow, right? Now, with the Game Boy Advance specifically, if you're spinning that screen around, it's going to be hard to keep your eye on it. So what the Rumble does is it tells you like how fast you're spinning it, if you're spinning it too fast or too slow, because it gives you that resistance there. The whole thing about game controllers is the resistance that you feel from the controller. An analog stick that is really, really, really loose is a bad analog stick. Because like it's very hard to kind of keep control over that. The resistance helps you determine how far am I pushing it? Am I pushing it too far? Am I pushing it strong enough? So when you have something with motion sensing, wherein you're waving something in the air, there's no resistance. Mm-hmm. Like unless you were playing it underwater, I mean, there's no resistance in the air. So at the very least, there has to be some feedback that tells your hand, not just your eyes or your ears, but that tells your hand, hey, this is the amount of resistance that's pushing back. Use this to tell whether or not you're using it, whether or not you're moving the controller too fast or too slow. Like, an example is Trauma Center for the DS, all right? That game is the surgery game. I don't know if you played that. I showed it to Ethan, but I don't know if you played it, Tony. But, like, true to form in a surgery game, you have to make incisions, right? Now with the DS,
I've seen you play
right?
It,
now with the DS, it's intuitive, right? Because you have a stylus there that acts like a scalpel, and you scratch along the screen. You know that you're touching the screen and you're scratching a line, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're bringing that game to the to Nintendo's Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Now if you're going to be using the remote as a scalpel, and you're waving it through the air, you can imagine how easy it's going to be to cut too long or cut too far. Now, and at least as long as when you have that rumble to give your hand that sensation that, yes, you are making contact with flesh, you are cutting into the flesh, okay, this is how fast you're cutting. You know, it tells your hand, it gives your hand that sense of resistance that, you know, that otherwise without it, you'd kind of be like all over the place. Imagine trying to drive a car with the steering wheel so loose that it's like, if you press it once, it twirls everywhere. You can't drive a car like that, right? So that's why I think Rumble is important, and that's why even though most developers don't take it seriously and don't do the right thing with it, the ones that do will ultimately make gameplay more intuitive and more, you know, not just immersive, I don't care about that, but more intuitive and more important from a gameplay standpoint. So you know, that's just me, but hopefully... I'm sorry, I'm almost done, but I'm just saying hopefully like what you said and what I said about like Street Fighter 2 having Rumble just when they get hit, hopefully that's not the extent of what they'll do in the future. You know, because that's just lame. Okay, I'm done. What were you going to say, Tony?
I was going to say that as long as we're talking about the handle part of it, one thing that I will not would never miss, mm-hmm. and yet they still have it on the handle. It's those fucking pressure-sensitive buttons. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, they didn't make much use of that, did they?
No.
Only I think only Metal Gear Solid 2 did, and I never played it.
Not even. And
no, it did. It did. Like if you press down very lightly on the gun, you cock it. Mm-hmm. You cock it. He said cock. You cock it very silently so you don't alert the person next to you. This is what I've read. I never tried that, but that's what I read. Right. So I mean. Yeah. Whatever.
But it's still stupid. Analog is much better, and you'll get carpal tunnel if you have to use it the way they intended, like driving games, for instance. Hold down really hard for hard acceleration, or just slightly. Give me a fucking break. You know, give me
in
a
racing game.
Like Gran Turismo 3 offered this,
right?
And it was worth.
You know why? Because the PlayStation controllers don't have triggers. They don't have Dreamcast triggers.
But the whole thing is they use the pressure.
Yeah, instead, and that was no substitute.
Yeah,
that was
no
way, substitute.
No
lo and behold, the 6-axis has triggers now. L2 and R,
yay!
L2 and R2 are now triggers, but according to IGN,
yay!
They're bad.
Yay!
But I'm sure they'll change it before.
I didn't notice that when we were at Digital Life.
I don't know if you picked up this article and stuff. I don't know if you want to talk about it real quick. Al just sent this thing for the bully.
Oh, okay. Let's see what it says. Uh-oh, from that chuckle I can tell it's a bad one, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
It's stupid.
It's stupid.
These fucking people.
It was released on the 17th, which is the day the game came out, yet they say the game comes out on the 27th.
Right.
Okay.
They say they're releasing it. They're releasing it as a changed name to the less...
No, that's in the UK. They are doing
that. Right.
Okay.
In the UK. On the 27th. So they say 27th in USA, too?
No. In the third paragraph, I believe it is. I'm going back to it right
here in
now.
The U.S., members of the U.S., Washington, D.C., based... Oh, God.
The game has no rating yet because it hasn't shipped. This is written on Tuesday, October 17th, the day of the game's launch.
And, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, she could have written this, like, 2 days prior, but that's so stupid. Wow. That's pretty lame.
This is an opinion piece. That's all it is. And it's... If you're going to give an opinion, why don't you give a good one? Okay? Like...
Let's see. I mean... It's... I mean, the opinion is sound. There's nothing wrong with the opinion. She just has the facts wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The facts...
Yeah, because it was rated way before Jack Thompson looked at it. So maybe she wrote this a month ago.
Or maybe she just took the limited amount of information because she's really not
because she's the boomer.
You know, she's just trying to sensationalize it.
And the boomer.
You know, not getting the facts straight, just getting like all these groups and stuff. Oh, they're doing this and that. Oh, I got to report it. Well, this is irresponsible reporting if you're not going to report all the facts, and especially since she has it as he's sued to have the game removed from stores, but doesn't have the outcome of the lawsuit, the one where the judge said, Jack Thompson, you're wasting my fucking time, you know? So, you know, to me, if you're going to print something like this, instead of giving, you know, trying to drum up some fucking support for either side, why don't you give us the facts, then we'll
No, I don't think she's... Tony, I don't think she's doing that. Did you read the thing?
Yeah, I did.
I don't think she is. I think she... I'm just saying that I think she got the release date wrong. And it's stupid.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all for
fact. For the game on GameSpot, and it's clearly
a game about bullying
about
that's similar in style and action to Grand Theft Auto.
This is
true.
But this game is like your worst high school nightmare when everything from wedgies, mean girls, teases, and all that. As a protagonist, you need to help strong. Yeah, but did she play it?
But actually, what she's saying is true. This is what the game is about.
Yeah, but play it. That's all I'm saying. Fucking
but she,
play it before you make
Tony,
it
out. She's not making any. Judgment with that paragraph. She's just saying...
No, at the end, she's like, what do you think? Will kids know that bully is a game and stuff like that? Wouldn't it be better instead of...
She's...
Like,
yes. No, that's a valid question. That's a valid question. What do you think?
It is.
It's more than valid.
Maybe I'm not making myself clear. Maybe I'm not making my argument clear. Okay? My argument is that she gives, like, all these different things and stuff like that. She's reporting, the dates are wrong and stuff like that, but I would love to see a report once where they don't just take other articles or things that they heard or things that they saw and just physically played the fucking thing and then give their opinion.
But she's not
you know what I'm saying?
Giving her own opinion, though.
It's trying to drum up an opinion.
What's wrong with that?
What better way to do that? What better way to do that than to give them an actual factual opinion?
I don't understand what the problem is. All she's saying is
this. Maybe that's my problem. I'm not explaining it right. I would like to see one report where somebody just goes, oh, by the way, I played it. Yeah, it's got some, you know, some things that might be offensive and stuff, but it's a game. And, you know, when it comes to this, this is comical. You know, when I was doing this, this was funny.
Here's the thing. I don't think that she needs to play it to ask someone questions like, what do you think about this? Do you think the kids will know that Bully is a game? I don't think she needs to play the game to ask that question, because that is a valid question. That's the problem with the society. Will kids know that Bully is a game? That's a perfect question. I would ask that as well. Mm-hmm. Will your kids know this? That's what I would ask if I was a store manager, mm-hmm. and I was selling this game to the kid's parent. I would ask them, is your kid going to understand that this is just a game?
Well,
you know,
it would also be
and I wouldn't have played it yet.
A relevant question if she too is a mother. Right?
We don't know that.
You know, wouldn't that be some information to have too? You know, I have kids, and will my kids know that this kid, this is a game? You know, will I subject my kids to this? You know, maybe if I saw something like that, I would be like, well, maybe she is taking this shit seriously instead of like trying to just roust up opinions, you know, on something she has not played.
Dude, that's what the internet and that's what comment posting and that's what forums are for. People like to discuss this stuff. There's nothing wrong with what she's mm-hmm. doing here, except for the fact that she missed the release date, you know? And the more and more I look at it, it's not really as much an opinion piece as it is, hey, this, you know, people are talking about this game, but what do you guys think? Mm-hmm. That's all she's doing. And she's just reporting what mm-hmm. she saw on a trailer. And granted, yes, it would have been better if she played it, but, you know, she mm-hmm. made a pretty good judgment from what she saw in the trailer. And Al, having played the game yourself, I think you'd agree that she got it down pretty right.
She does, pretty much.
You know?
As to what
and she is. Goes and she goes and she says, in fairness, it should be pointed out that this is not a shoot 'em up game and there are no guns or blood. So she's not sitting there saying, oh, blah, 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 this is a bad game. What do you think? She's saying, this is what I saw, you know, and mm-hmm. this is both sides of the story. Make your own judgment. Comment on my blog, or whatever this is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's a blog. But she's the boomer.
It's a blog. She's got 3,000 responses.
From the boomer. But what were you saying, Al? You're saying she does, but what?
I said but.
I thought you did.
No, she said pretty much. Oh.
Yeah, because, I mean, basically, it's about a kid whose mom married some rich dude, and they're going on a honeymoon for a year, and they left him at Bullworth. And he basically, as soon as he gets into school, all the kids are picking on him. And when he gets to the dorm, this one kid befriends him, but he's like the school sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
So he has you... I mean, this is kind of messed up, because it's like, you know how... You can be, like, the new kid in school, and then this one real... You know he's a bad influence. Mm-hmm. He becomes your friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he treats you in a very love-hate kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where he'll... Well, basically, like... I'm trying to, like, put this into perspective, but in a quick way.
Uh-huh.
When they first meet, he's already been pushed around, like, 3-4 times. And you actually had to fight a bully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before you get into the dorm, because they mess with you that much.
Hmm.
And so he's already tired of everything. He just walked into the school.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's mm-hmm. like, you know, hey, you're the new kid. He goes, so what's it to you? And the kid's like, hey, calm down, friend. And he starts trying to become his friend, saying, you know, you got nobody else here, and I'm offering to be your friend. And you're going to treat me like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so he finally calms down, and he's like, all right, I'll be your friend, all this stuff. And then they have this other kid, Petey, who's like nerd, but they call him
Pee-wee.
Call him a girl.
Oh, Petey.
And so this guy, I forget what the, I think his name is Sean or something, the sociopath kid. But he's constantly treating Petey like putting him down, call him a little girl, all this stuff. He kicked him in a ball. and it's funny because he does that mean girl type stuff where it's like, you come in the room and he goes, yeah, you know, Petey was just talking about you saying, and Petey's sitting right there. It's like, Petey was just saying that you were so, you must have gotten expelled from all those schools because you were too dumb. Mm-hmm. And then your character is like, what? And he's trying to, like, jump on him, Petey. And then he keeps instigating. And then after that, he goes, well, look. You know what happens when you just talk stuff about our new friend? He kicks Petey in the balls. So he just, like, persecuted the poor kid. And you're like, what the hell? And then he goes, I got this plan for taking over the school. I want to know if you're down with that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But he doesn't really tell you yet because that's as far as I got in the story.
Oh, okay.
But this kid is bad news, and you're chilling with the bad news kid.
Yeah.
So I find that funny, but I find that also it's just reality because that stuff really happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think that kids should I don't think the kids are really going to fall into it like that. It is a T game, so most of the kids who are going to be playing it are just getting into this type of society.
Right.
I don't think that they're going to turn this type of society into reality because most realities aren't. Well, no.
Well,
I can't really say that most realities aren't like that. Cause
well, you know, everything you just described happens in wrestling, happens in, you know, all these other shows.
Happens on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Any kind of high school TV show.
Shit, it happened on fucking Sesame Street yesterday. What the fuck do they want? No,
this Trigames podcast has been brought to you by the letter B.
Fuck them up!
B for bully. B for bosom.
Beat that ass.
B for butt.
For balls.
This episode has been brought to you by B. Hey, thanks, Bert. But yeah, definitely keep feeding the bully and God Hand impressions to us as you get along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But does anybody have any parting shots before they go back to the toilet?
Yeah, I just want to say something about the pizza-holics, okay? Anything that is oholics is not good. Dumbasses. What the fuck are they? Are they passing?
Ask for peace, but in moderation.
Yeah, what is that? Pizza-holics, you know? What the fuck? I got a problem. My name is Todd, and I'm a pizza-holic.
The cereal piecers! Anytime you try to implant a good name onto a bad, a bad meme. It's,
connotation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb. Actually. It's stupid. And then standing outside Rockstar Games in New York. They're just standing there. They don't know what the fuck to do.
God.
Oh, my God. I just have to say to the pizza-holics, go fuck yourselves. Nobody likes you. Not even your moms.
Al, any parting shots?
Nothing. I just had a funny reminder because I saw The Departed last night.
Oh, okay. How was that?
It was a pretty good movie, but it's
when
long.
When I tell you to throw a body in the mosh, I mean to throw the fucking body in the mosh.
Not when some guy goes every night and gets a fucking blowjob.
I'm not a cop. Not a cop.
Dude, I fucking hate that Boston accent with a passion.
Yep.
And listening to it for two
and a
half hours.
But the car in the apartment. I thought that my apartment. But what I love about it is that they do it so well.
They
like
all,
I hate
like
the accent as well, but I love
really,
the way
really well.
I like when people when actors are doing it. It's like I like to hear the accents. So
yeah, I mean I like.
I
that
guess
too.
That means I have to watch Fire Gold.
That's why I kind of like was like wow. But
wow! Stop it! Wow!
I hate that.
Well, it's not a stretch for Matt Damon. Matt Damon's in that movie.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Not a stretch for Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's from Boston, yeah. So, you know.
But
I'm
Mark Wahlberg from
Ben Affleck.
There?
The rest of them are probably...
Is Mark Wahlberg from there?
Back when Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't sound like it. And it's funny because I liked Mark Wahlberg's character the most.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Just because he was such a dick.
Yeah.
And he always had the best things
yeah,
to say.
Don't say any of them. Don't ruin it for Mr. Tono. He hasn't seen it. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it, right?
I have not seen it.
Departed.
The
departed.
Was like the most prominent word or phrase in that movie was go fuck yourself. It's like all Bostons must,
go fuck yourself.
Boston must have that phrase built into them from birth.
It's like fucking asshole in New York. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So you heard it here, 23rd. Go see the Departed. Trigames recommends The Departed.
And then become bullies to the pizza-holics.
Yeah, and then put pizza-holics into the ground.
Not a cop.
I'm not a cop. Not a cop.
I am not a pizza-holic.
Ugh, God. Okay.
No, I'm not.
If any of you have any good Boston accents to send us, even though you're assholes and don't send us fucking mail, you pieces of shit, send it to mailbag@trygames.net, and maybe we'll forgive you. Until then, I have been gone. Bye.
The endings get weaker and weaker.